In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
You picked a great time to listen to Mornings with Tom and Tavi because our special guest is Lauren Green. She's the chief religion correspondent for Fox News Channel and has been with the network since 1996. She's also the author of Lighthouse Faith, God as a Living Reality in a World Immersed in Fog, and this new resource called Light for Today, which we're going to talk to her about in just a moment. Lauren also hosts a podcast called Lighthouse Faith and a weekly faith feature on Fox News Radio. Lauren, good to have you with us here on Mornings with Tom and Tavi.
Lauren, so glad to have you this morning. How would you compare our faith in God to that of a lighthouse?
The idea is that, you know, there is, of course, a visual, attachment to the lighthouses. The lighthouse is a source of strength, of refuge, of safety. And, of course, that is what God is to us. But then there is a deeper understanding from the Lighthouse Faith book that the lighthouse is, to me, very much like the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are not just an arbitrary list of rules and regulations that God gave us, but an actual description of who God is. But there's a hierarchy in that the first commandment is key. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And all the commandments 2 through 10 could not be violated unless the first one is violated. So if you commit adultery, it means someone else's love is more important to you than God. If you steal, it means someone else, you know, something is more worthy or needy to you than God. So you see how all the Ten Commandments are identified first by their relationship to the first commandment and second by the relationship to everything else. And that really is the lighthouse imagery, but it's also the lighthouse, objective of view. And so, and also the Ten Commandments is a real description of who God is. You know, we're not supposed to lie because God doesn't lie. You know, we don't commit adultery because God doesn't commit adultery. So these are the things that, we can look to for the lighthouse in that, it gives us strength and refuge, but also there is a working out of this idea of God is the light and this seminal point, which creates basically this closed system. And I looked at this system, this closed system, and said, boy, that's like a logo. That's like a template for creation. That's his logo on everything, on the universe, on us, on the diatonic scale, on architecture. There is a seminal point by which everything must relate to first. And so this is something that is powerful about the lighthouse. And so the working out of the lighthouse in our daily lives, out of that came the devotional light for today.
Okay, I just love that. Lauren, thank you so much for just pointing to the source of light, of course, which is the Word of God, lamp unto our feet, a light into our path, of course. But if you take a look at our path here in our culture right now, it just seems kind of dark, right? So how do you actually do that? How do you appropriate the light of the Lord Jesus Christ through his word and portray that back into culture?
Well, first of all, a lot of times, we can only be concerned with ourselves. We are called to be like him, and we are made in his image, and we are made to have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And so this is a working out of being first knowing that you're blessed by this relationship with Jesus Christ, and then extend that blessing to others. You know, we are not just in this relationship to be blessed and have a good life, but to extend that blessing to others. If everybody did that, of course, the world would be a different place. But the problem is that most people don't think of God as a living reality. You know, 100 years ago, culture believed, and there are still some cultures in the face of the earth that actually still believe this, but even in America, we believed that there was a reality that existed outside of each one of us, and our job was to mold our life to that reality, right? Mm. But what we've done the culture today is that we believe, the culture kind of believes, the secular culture believes that the reality exists in us and that the world must adjust to us, right? Mm-hmm. Jonathan Haidt, who was a social psychologist, not a person of faith, but he wrote that the idea is that you must prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And so this is, I think, very important for us to understand that the world does not exist, to make us happy. You know, God has created a world in which for us to live, but that we are in a relationship not only with Him but the world. How do you correct, what's wrong in the world? First of all, you've got to start with yourself. Mm. You've got to start with understanding who you are in light of this incredible God who created the universe. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, we just witnessed this incredible solar eclipse. You know, that to me just said, the heavens declare the glory of God. A God who can exist, who can do that to show us He is there, is a God that we need to bow down to. But unfortunately, there is this evil that exists in the world, the sin that says, I am my own maker. You know, I am the one who determines right from wrong. Yeah. I'm worshiping something other than the living God. How that works out in the reality of this world, well, you see it right now. How is it that there's so much crime in the world? It's because biblical manhood has been lost in this culture. So that men do not take responsibility for the children, perhaps a lot of the children that they create. They are not taking responsibility for the relationships they are in with women, so that they are allowing women to give themselves to them outside of marriage. And so the working out, what does that work out to be? It means that you create a relationship on a personal level with somebody that you don't have whole life oneness with. And how does that work out in real life? Perhaps there are children born out of wedlock, and we know that children don't have fathers in their households are 80%. Prisons are filled to like 80 to 90% of prisons are filled with men and women who did not have fathers in the household. Mm. Without fathers in the household, a child is more likely to be living in poverty. Without a father in the household who has a relationship with a loving relationship with a child, a young girl is five times more likely to have a out of wedlock birth. Five times more likely. So where does that translate into the real world? Well, we see a rising in crime, in this screaming passion against the world. You know, Mary Eberstadt, wrote this book called Primal Scream, and she was talking about the riots in 2020. It's like, what is this? Mm. How is this going to correct the killing of George Floyd? I mean, compare that to the peaceful marches of Martin Luther King Jr. How do these two go inside?
Lauren Green is the chief religion correspondent for Fox News Channel, and she has created a resource called Light for Today. And we're going to ask her a couple of questions about that. How can we tap into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and maybe shine brightly today, Lauren? Great to have you with us on Mornings with Tom and Tabby.
Oh, it is a blessing. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for just writing this resource, and really your whole theme, even for your podcast, is about the lighthouse, and lighthouses, of course, direct ships away from the rocks and help them to see clearly. We need that in the darkened world that we are living in. You were talking about some of those ways that we live in a dark world earlier, but in this devotional, we can have that light shining every morning, and show us just a little bit of what are we going to glimpse as we open the book on your devotional.
Well, first of all, there's a scripture, and then there is a, you know, accompanying sort of devotional to understand the scripture using everyday things in everyday life. And I think that's where people live. And we go to church maybe once a week, and maybe, you know, less than that for a lot of people, because they don't see the relevance to your everyday life. But God is in the everyday. And we just go to church to get the batteries charged, you know, and to really go out into the world and to live out this message of the gospel. So it's the idea of, you know, how do you get God in the everyday? How do you make sense of the pain and suffering in your life with a God who says, I will never leave you or forsake you? And I think that's really where we are in terms of getting a devotional, praying daily. This is like the wireless connected to, you know, like, you know, you're in enemy territory and you're listening to the wireless, like C.S. Lewis talks about what's happening, you know, in the reality of the world in this beautiful place. And so prayer is like that, being connected to the Creator. But more than that, you know, reading God's Word, this is really, really important. Either the Bible says God's Word has agency, which means there's power there, right? It's not just words on a piece of paper. They actually have power. This is Book of Hebrews saying the Word of God is active, living and active, you know, able to, you know, cut across anything. I mean, it is living and active. And so, you know, as in Romans talking about, we are asked to do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And science will tell us that there's a plasticity of the brain, that the brain can change, and you have to change in a slow process. And so reading God's Word every single day, praying to Him, is a transforming part of your life. And what most people want, though, is to be loved, to be accepted, to know that there is a God who cares. And this God is just aching to show us that. And so God's love really is as close as the air you breathe, you know? That you don't have to step into a church. You can just open up your heart and say, God, come into my heart and be with me and show me the way. That's the first step. And then the step after that is to constantly be in relationship with this God through devotionals like for today. But there are many devotionals out there too as well. But read your Bible. Read every day. Read the Psalms. Psalms are filled with every emotion that humans have, reconciling this life of you know, joys and pains and, you know, hopes and happiness with a God who says, like I said, I will never leave you or forsake you.